What you missed on The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, when it comes to politics in Singapore, there doesn't seem to be much change. Things are relatively stable, but there could be a disruptor as seven opposition parties announced plans last weekend to form a coalition and extended an invite, really, to former presidential candidate Tan Cheng Bock to lead them. Now, the next general election in Singapore, let me refresh your memory, it must be held by the year 2021.
Former National Solidarity Party chief Lim Tien is seeking to form a new party. The seven parties involved are the Singapore Democratic Party, the NSP, the PPP, the Democratic Progressive Party, the Reform Party called RP, Singaporeans First, as well as Mr. Lim's as yet unregistered party, People's Voice. That's the name of the party. The Workers' Party and the Singapore People's Party, two of the most successful opposition parties in Singapore, are not part of the effort.
Not everybody is convinced about this effort, though, yeah? According to some analysts, instead of giving voters with a real choice of an alternative government and a force to be reckoned with at the next GE, this proposed coalition could be a last-ditch effort by parties and personalities who've been bit part players to avoid political oblivion.
Okay.
The details of the proposed coalition still needs to be worked on, but according to analysts and politicians, uniting behind the single vision and identity will be key to achieving any success. We need more clarity on this, Elliot.
We have Eugene Tan, Associate Professor of Law at Singapore Management University, on the line with us. Good morning, Eugene.
Morning, Elliot.
Well, what exactly are the oppositions trying to achieve by banding together? You think perhaps maybe this is a bit of a spillover from what they saw in Malaysia?
Certainly the case, Elliot. I think here we are looking at, you know, the seven opposition parties, you know, drawing inspiration from the opposition, well, now the ruling government in Malaysia, the then opposition's victory in the Malaysian general election.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here it's really, you know, the recognition that it is important for the parties to come together, you know, in order for them to be more competitive, in order for them to break, you know, the one-party dominance in Singapore. So I think it's not just about wanting to avoid, you know, three-cornered fights, which I think in the last few elections have been the exception. But I think it's now looking at how they could present, you know, a very strong case, you know, to the voters in Singapore, and they hope to do this by showing, you know, that they do have a vision, that they are able to pool their resources, and that they're able to work cohesively, you know. So I think they have bold ambitions, but I think that the challenge is always whether they can make it all work.
Okay, hopefully strength in numbers, that's what they're hoping for, huh, Eugene? Associate Professor of Law at SMU is on the line with us. But Eugene, for this coalition to even work out, what needs to happen for them to be successful at all?
Well, they have their work cut out for them, Yasmin, for sure. I mean, one is certainly, you know, coming together is the easiest part, right? One thing to say, you know, let's form a coalition. But I think the main thing is whether they can build on this momentum and continue to sustain, you know, that will to make the coalition work, you know, because it has been, you know, a repeated story, you know, where opposition parties try to come together before a general election, you know, try to come up with some sort of electoral pact.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as they go. But I think here it's really, you know, wanting to present themselves as a viable alternative. And I think, you know, to your question as to, you know, what needs to be done, I think certainly one is, you know, as Dr. Tan Cheng Bock has pointed out, you know, whether that there may be a need for some of the veteran party leaders, you know, to step aside, for there to be new blood, you know, for people to view, you know, this coalition in a different light. I think that's certainly one challenge if they want to make the coalition work. The other, of course, is the question of leadership. You know, will Dr. Tan Cheng Bock the mantle of being, you know, the leader of this proposed coalition? Or even if Dr. Tan declines, you know, can they among themselves agree and give their full-hearted support, you know, to the leader of this coalition? Because I think ultimately you need someone to be driving this effort. Someone needs to take the lead. You know, you can't have seven leaders calling the shots. That is a significant challenge that I think these opposition parties, you know, will have to deal with. But they need to build on this momentum.
Okay, Law Prof Eugene's on the phone with us from SMU. Tan Cheng Bock seems to be naturally is almost like the leader invited even to head these seven opposition parties. But do you see any sort of other natural leaders that could be picked out among the mix?
I think, you know, we have to look at the younger leaders. I think when you look at the more established leaders, those on the political scene for a decade or more, I think there will be some concerns as to whether they can rally this group of parties together. You know, they have very different ideologies. You know, they have very different ways of doing things. They have different sort of appeals. You know, they have different working styles. You know, and so my sense is probably, you know, that it has to be someone probably relatively new, someone who can command the trust and confidence, you know, that this person will work in the interest of the proposed coalition, you know, and that he will take a collaborative approach and consult the different party leaders, you know, in order to get this coalition going. You may ask, you know, whether I have any names in mind. I think it's probably still too premature because, you know, I think if they have that political will, I think it is possible that, you know, someone relatively unknown might be chosen.
So we wait to be surprised.
Yeah, I think a really fresh and refreshing approach needs to be taken.
Prof Eugene, one of the most significant things out of this news about the coalition is that the Workers' Party and the Singapore People's Party, they're two of the most successful opposition parties in Singapore politics, right? But they're not going to be participating in any kind of coalition. How's this going to impact this group of seven, so to speak, that they're trying to form?
Well, I think the main player in the opposition landscape, you know, would be the Workers' Party. They have, as a matter of practice, not been very keen, you know, to be part of any opposition alliance. I think for them the concern is what benefit, you know, would it bring to them? I mean, they have certainly characterized themselves as being an integral part of the opposition, but at the same time, you know, they feel that, you know, being seen as different from the other opposition parties has also been of benefit to them. So I think certainly, you know, without the Workers' Party, they may not have that additional heft and credibility. But I think the political system in Singapore is big enough, you know, to accommodate the Workers' Party as well as this proposed opposition coalition. I think what it does really is, you know, to make the opposition landscape a lot less fragmented. I mean, it is a very crowded space. I mean, you know, you look at the seven opposition parties, and we're not even looking at the Singapore Democratic Alliance, you know, which has a few parties under it. So I think that the whole idea here is that, well, you know, let's try to pool our resources, demonstrate that we can work together, you know, so that if opposition candidates are elected, you know, they would be able to enhance the system of governance in Singapore, you know. So I think they will continue to try to reach out to Workers' Party and the Singapore People's Party, you know, but I would be very surprised if they decide to come on board. But I don't think that it means that this proposed coalition is not going to work without these two parties' participation. I think it's really for them to show that, you know, notwithstanding the WP and SUP not being on board, they would still offer a very attractive choice, you know, for voters, you know, when the hustings come round.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. We've been speaking to Eugene Tan, Associate Professor of Law at Singapore Management University.